Well, appreciate being here in Boley once again. Had prayer a couple times, but I think that it'd be good to have a little word of prayer before we start. Father in heaven, we know that you're able to guide our words and our thoughts this afternoon or this morning. And Lord, we think of the simple prayer that Elijah prayed when he was faced with the confrontation with Baal. And many times we feel that we're in that type of confrontation with the enemy today. I want to pray, dear Lord, that you would put a guard over our tongue and the words that we say today. Guide our words that it'd be a blessing to each heart here, we ask. We'll surely give you the praise. Amen. So, really desire and interest in your prayers today. Write a word up here for us, kind of keep us so I feel like that this is the core of the thought the Lord has inspired to us. We have a song in our book, number 198. The title of it is Hope. And a couple of the fellows that I work with have expressed some sentiments that let me know that their hope was not maybe where they would like for it to be. One of them has a young child, a son that's just starting school, about 5 years old, and he said to me the other day, he said, "It's a crazy world out there, Dan." And he was concerned about the influences that his son would be facing going into the school system. And this is a man that doesn't come to service with us. And it's a man that I believe he has a respect for God, but yet he doesn't go to service anywhere. And coming from that perspective, he was yet expressing something that let me know that he was concerned about the time and the age, the place that he lived. Another man, both of these are young enough to be my children, and he said to me the other day, he just had a little girl born into his home, third child there, and he said, "I don't know." He said, "It just sometimes it seems overwhelming." He said, "I'm trying to raise three children in this age that we live in." We were some little comment. So I know that we look out around us, and the enemy is very effective at not giving us hope, but causing us to be hopeless, without hope. And there's a state of hopelessness that the enemy would like to put us all under and cause us to be in subjection to and cause us to feel that we should quit trying. We should quit doing what we know that we ought to do. And the devil would like to cause us to be hampered, hindered, and crippled from trying to reach out because it looks hopeless. But instead, I want us to think about today how powerful it is to have hope in our hearts, in our lives. So this song that I'm referring to, the very first verse says, "Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave in the sweet and vernal lands?" This word vernal is talking about springtime when the grass is greening up and the flowers are blooming. And I don't know about where you live, but where I live, there's something we call henbit, a little kind of a weed. It's pretty easy to kill with a herbicide, but my lawn has a lot of henbit in it. So it's kind of pretty. I kind of hesitate about mowing the grass the first time because it comes up and has this little tiny purple flower on it. And if you look out across the yard, it can be just really attractive because of the henbit that's out there. But this song is talking about a life of eternity where it's sweet and there's beauty. It's attractive. He says, have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? It's not talking about being reincarnated or something like that. It's into a mortal body. It's talking about a spiritual life beyond this mortal existence that we have. The last part of that verse says, do we know if this, our tabernacle, our physical bodies, my physical body is not as strong as it used to be, and there are limitations that I recognize almost on a daily basis that really wasn't there a few years ago. But he says, do we know if this, our tabernacle, were to be dissolved, this flesh would go away? He says, do we know if this, our tabernacle, were to be dissolved, we've a house not made with hands. Do we have a hope that we have a house, a dwelling place that's beyond this mortal existence? There are many that's living just for this time, just for this age, just for this life. That's all they're living for. They don't have a hope beyond this grave. They don't have a hope beyond this mortality. So this song, the inspiration came, according to the songwriter, from Colossians, a verse over here in Colossians, the first chapter. And I'd like to read that to us this morning in Colossians 1 and verse 27. He says, to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God wants to make something visible, something accessible, something understandable to us, that to the world around us, those that maybe we rub shoulders to, it seems so mysterious. They may feel like it's so hopeless. Maybe, you know, they're at a time in their life when children are coming into their home, or they're entering maybe a workforce, or entering the time of, we have some young people here this morning, and your mortal life is all ahead of you. And now some of us here are looking down the path that we've been on. It's just, that's the reality of it. But I want us to realize that God came to make us aware that it's not something that's inaccessible. This mystery, he says, among, he would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, this is the mystery, it's Christ, the hope of glory. The hope. We can have a hope today. We can have a hope in this life, in this age that we live in. Unfortunately, we are not the first time that has looked around the landscape of the age we lived in and felt like that everything was falling apart and caving in on us. those that lived through the world wars felt like the world was caving in on him. Unfortunately, I have a very sad story that I can tell you. I guess it would be a great aunt. I'm telling this because it was told to me, not because I was alive at that time, but a great aunt that began to absorb what the media was saying. Y'all have any impact by the media today? The media at that time was newspapers. During the Great War, what we call World War I. And she began to absorb all that the media was saying about reports, and whether it was tilted or not, I don't know. I wasn't alive in that time. I haven't spent the time to go read all of the newspaper articles about that. But she read that and was so troubled and began to be so overwhelmed by that that she lost all of her hope. Not just hope of this hope that we're talking about here, of a spiritual, but she lost hope in life. And she took her own life. Now that's a very sad story. But you know, the enemy would like to take every one of us down that path. He would like to pull the hope, just extract every bit of hope out of you today. Where you not only didn't have hope in the Lord, but you didn't have hope in life. And I want to be a person that is happy and enjoys life and all of that, but I'm going to tell you, I'm no different than the rest of you. I've met some real difficult places, and I know the enemy would like to destroy your hope. This song says, have we any hope within us? I think it's a legitimate question that we ought to ask ourselves today. Do we have any hope this morning? Or do we feel destitute of hope? I've heard burdens shared here this morning. I have burdens this morning. I'd like to turn to Romans, the 5th chapter. And there's a concept here that we want to try to get a hold of that I trust will be a blessing to you. In Romans chapter 5, we would like to begin reading in verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope maketh not ashamed. Hope causes us to do things and act in ways that other people might say, what's the use? Why to go to the trouble? Why put in the effort? I was just thinking about being here and the years that have passed since the last time I was here. And someone has done a good job cleaning the chapel up. I know that in that length of time, if someone hasn't put a lot of effort into cleaning this, there'd be a lot of cobwebs around here. There would be a lot of signs, but because there was hope, someone put some effort into that. And this says, hope maketh not ashamed. Not ashamed. To put effort into something that someone else says, why would you do that? Why would you limit yourself, young people? The devil would like to tell you that. Why would you limit yourself? You can, your potential to achieve and excel and accumulate and all of that is so much more if you wouldn't be hindered by some kind of confining methodology about how you would live. I want to tell you, there's a hope that we can have deep down in us that'll cause me not to be ashamed.
That's right.
To live in a way
that
God can put his stamp of approval on us.
Amen.
It says in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Thank the Lord.
You know how hopeless the world looked when Christ came to this world? He came during a time when the ancient Olympics was in full swing. People were giving themselves to all of the vices of the flesh just like they are today.
Yeah.
There was things that was going on that was rampant in Christ's time that today we think is some new sin. And they were doing it when Christ came here. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for all of those people back then, just like he died for you. And if it hadn't been for this hope that he got from his heavenly Father, he wouldn't have come. Logically speaking, it was a wasted effort for Christ to come. His own people, by and large, rejected him. And it seems like sometimes the ones that should embrace the hope that we can have today are the very ones that seem to turn aside from it. And we wonder, why do we keep going on? Why do we keep promoting something that seems to be rejected on every side? You invite someone to come to service, whether it's here or your home congregation, wherever you're from, and they always got something else going on. There's just always something else that's happening in their life that seems to be more important than cultivating a hope that we're talking about this morning. The song asked the question, do you have any hope within you of a life, of eternal life beyond this mortal existence? Or are you just trying to get all of the pleasure out of this life that you possibly can because you don't have any hope beyond this? I'm thankful for the hope that I have beyond the grave. He goes on to say in the 7th verse, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Why would they? Because of a hope. Because of a hope. It says, but God commanded his love toward us that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you and he died for me. Because he had a hope that we would choose to follow him. I'm not a fisherman, but I think many times of those that fish with a fly rod. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It seems like the most improbable way to fish that I can think of. If I was going to fish, I would probably do better spoonbilling and snag it. That's when you got a big, heavy line on your pole, a really strong pole, and a big hook. And you're wanting to just snag something. You don't care where you get them. You just snag them, and when you feel something, you just start cranking them in. But fly fishing is totally different. You go out there with maybe a 4-pound line on your reel and then about a 2-foot line on the end of that that's maybe 2-pound weight, and you put on a little bit of bait on the end and a little tiny hook, and you're trying to catch about a 6-pound fish. And I don't know how your math works, but it don't work out very good in mine. And you got to, somehow you got to get the hook in the fish's mouth because they got to bite whatever you. And then you just kind of work with it. And you work with it. And you work until the fish decides to swim up to the bank. That's the only way you can catch them. Because if you're catching trout, you'll pull the hook out of the mouth. They're such a tender little lip fish. You just got to kind of play along with them until they swim up close and almost come out on dry land. And I want to tell you, you got to have a lot of hope to fish like that. I'm not one of those. But I want to have that kind of hope.
Yes.
In reaching out,
yes,
and extending the gospel,
yes,
to children,
yes,
to family,
yes,
to co-workers,
yes,
to the community around,
yes,
here.
Yes.
You know, that's what's happening
right here
with this effort.
Yes. Yes.
It's like a spiritual fly rod that's being cast,
yes,
out there.
Yes.
Hoping someone will see something attractive,
yes,
yes, and you can work with them,
yes,
until they come swimming up,
yes,
to the bank.
Yes.
Glory. Yes.
He says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him.
Yes.
It's through Christ's,
yes,
blood that we can be saved.
Yes.
That we can have that hope as an individual. If we don't have that real connection with God, it's going to be very difficult for us to portray that hope to the world around us. Because I'm going to tell you, there's enough stuff going on to make us discouraged and lose hope. If you start lining up the pros and the cons and begin to try to put it on a spreadsheet or something like that, you'll come up with the conclusion that it's not worth the effort. But hope is the one that changes the balance of all of that. There's hope. He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by this life. You know, shall be saved by his life. We were enemies to the Lord, all of us here.
Yes. Yes.
Some of us maybe more aggressively than others, I don't know. But we were all enemies.
That's
and
right.
We were able to,
yes,
be reconciled because of the hope of the gospel. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We can have that hope.
Amen.
We can have that experience. We can have the realization that we can have a life, eternal life, with God beyond this old life, beyond this time,
yes,
that we're here. Maybe we could turn to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's writing here, and I don't know how much of it to read. I'd kind of like to read you the whole chapter, but we'll start with verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, it takes hope to be faithful.
Yes.
Takes hope. It says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Lord has made a provision where we can be in contact with him and we can have this hope for ourselves.
Yes.
I'd like to maybe skip down. He says in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Remember, Paul is writing to a congregation at Ephesus. You know, it causes me to have hope when I see others have hope.
Yes.
When I see others that are making an effort to reach out to other souls.
Yes.
Instead of just pulling in inside your shell, and so to speak, you know, it's me. I'm more that kind of personality. I come in contact with more strangers than I meet, than I see opportunities for friends. I don't know if I said that right, but my nature is to pull back from something that's different. And some people only see opportunities to make friends. And a lot of times strangers look scary to me. I don't know why, but, you know, I just don't necessarily see somebody that I don't know as an opportunity. I don't know why. It's just, I can't think of any bad experience I had that caused me that way. It just, maybe that's kind of a nature I have. But when I see someone else doing everything they can, it causes me to have more hope. I need somebody that helps me spur my hope along. And he says here, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why is this an encouragement to him? Because he saw these people having this hope that was reading about in this song. They had a hope beyond this life. You know what they did at Ephesus? They worshiped idols. They had a goddess, I believe they called Diana, the god of the Ephesians. You know, do you think it was easy to be a Christian in Ephesus? There was persecution that was involved there. There were people, there was things that happened to those that wouldn't worship the Ephesians that we would call atrocities today. There was mobs, there was violence, there was all kinds of things that would have been a deterrent to being a Christian.
Yes.
And yet Paul is writing to them, and he says, "I see that y'all have a hope, and it's an encouragement to me." He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Yeah. That's what we got to get. That's got to get the eyes of our understanding enlightened or open, or being able to comprehend that we can have a hope beyond this old world, beyond being able to be affluent or accomplished or whatever it is. Get our eyes on something beyond that. He says that you may know that it is the hope of his calling. What's the hope of his calling? That we can have a life beyond the grave.
Yes.
That's the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, to be a joint heir with Christ.
Yes.
To be able to sit in eternity with the Lord. To know his approval, his acceptance, to realize that the struggles of this old life is all over.
Yes.
That's what causes me to have hope.
Yes.
It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which is wrought in Christ when he's raised him up from the dead, or raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above," it says, "all principality, All of the things that seem to suppress our hope today, it's all above that. This hope will take us above that. Above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? I trust that you do today. If you don't, I want you to know that I have a hope that you can have that hope.
Yes, indeed.
The Lord wants to help us today to have hope.
Amen.
And whatever your station or your situation might be, He wants to help us. I'd like to go to St. John, the 10th chapter. I'd like to begin reading maybe verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's through Christ and Him only that we'll be able to have this hope. If I'm looking for hope in what I can do with my hands or with my mind, or because somebody else is going to give it to me, I'm going to be hopeless. It's only through this door of Christ that I can have hope. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Don't you find that in this world that we live in? The enemy wants to come along. He wants to kill your hope. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to destroy your hope. He wants you to feel hopeless. He wants you to feel the hopelessness of a life, or really a death beyond this grave or beyond this life. He wants you to feel like there is absolutely no hope in going on. No reason to keep doing what you've been doing. He wants to tell you that you've been doing the same thing over and over again, and it hasn't yielded the fruit that it should be doing. So why don't you just quit? Why don't you give up? Why don't you turn aside?
He's a liar.
But the thief, that's what he's here for. He come to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's not what Jesus came. He says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly.
Thank the Lord.
The Lord wants to give us something today that's out of this world.
Yes.
I mean that in more ways than one. He wants to give us a life beyond the grave.
Yes.
That is literally out of this world.
Yes, that's right.
But He wants to give us something today where we can have hope in what we're doing.
Yes.
In how we're living. That it will be a satisfaction to our soul and our inner man. He wants to give us something it says here that's abundantly more than we could, it don't say this here, more than we could ask or think. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's give us his life.
Yeah.
He came down at, I would venture, at one of the most hopeless times in humanity's history. And I believe the scripture tells us that the end will be very much like the time when Christ came. And I look around in our world today and I realize all of the traps and devices that the enemy has to absorb people's time and their energies and their devotion. And he brings so much destruction. And I have to think we're very near to the end.
Yes.
And remember, the thief has come to try to get your hope away from you. He don't want you to have hope. He wants you to feel hopeless. He wants you to feel powerless. He wants you to feel defeated. But I'm going to tell you today that Christ came to give us life. And not just survival life. But he says here that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us that. And I want it. And that's what I have to share with you today. Trust the Lord will bless it to your heart. You pray for me.